The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
So I used to have this thing where every garbage sitcom that would come out on network television would be about a dopey, relatively unattractive male figure who was married to an attractive, witty, sharp, altogether intelligent woman. And that was like the source of the comedy in the show, right? Look at the big idiot guy, and somehow he's married way out over his skis. And
King of Queens.
Yeah, King of Queens being a perfect example. But it seems like that's like that was like the that was every sitcom. And it used to always make me mad. And then there's moments in my life to make me realize I'm living that actual life.
Yeah, you're like, the dopey guy with the hot wife.
Who's not just pretty, but she's like smarter than me.
I feel like I can say that.
Yeah, no, it's all true.
I went to high school with her. I mean,
it's all true. Like, she's smarter than me. She's more responsible than me. She has to bring my laptop charger to the radio station at least
caretaker.
Once a month. Yeah.
And when you do the math, it doesn't add up.
And the look on Jake's face when my wife shows up with my power supply for my laptop for the first time this month is just like, you're so disappointed
because
in me.
This month, it signifies, I've been at this radio station for 17 years full time, right? How many times have I had somebody bring up something that I forgot to bring to work?
Zero.
Not once. Not a single time. Not one time did I come to work and not have what I needed for work. And
you're saying you're better than me?
No, I'm not.
Well, you are.
It's baffling to me that that she still puts up with your crap. Like, she'd be like,
I know.
No, I hope your computer dies. Remember it next time. There's consequences to be paid. I'm taking care of our children. I'm getting ready for work.
She's feeding our baby.
Right.
She's getting the kids ready for the day. She's going to actually take care of other human beings for the rest of the day.
She's got a real job.
And she has to deal with this child.
Right. It's just like, Kelly, there's got to be consequences at some point in time.
It's kind of why I didn't think you should have another kid. You already had you.
Right?
Right.
She just added to it.
Anyway, what's up, Sam?
Yeah, Sam, welcome to the show.
You know what? I just realized how often that happens.
How often what happens?
Yeah. That she has to bring you something.
Yeah.
Dude,
I mean, it's not like once every 6 months.
Correct.
It's at least once a month.
Minimum.
Yeah.
I'm taking the over every month on that.
You know, I have read somewhere that is a sign of higher intelligence, so I keep telling you guys that because your brain is thinking about when you're really smart, you're thinking at a high level like me, your brain's on all kinds of, can't keep track of where power supply is for your laptop. You got too much going on up there.
Wrong person to be talking about doing too much. just no. No. Uh-uh.
Do you buy it, Sam? Sign of higher intelligence, yes or no?
I mean, in my own self-interest, I'll say yes.
Yes!
Your boy has been known to forget stuff.
See? It's because you're smart like me, Sam.
Well, I guess I'm just a big dope here.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah, Sam, you've witnessed how this show is structured and how it runs.
I know.
And there's a point in time where I'm running a television show and a radio show and dealing with these yahoos,
yep.
and I'm the idiot around here.
Yep. Because you remember your stuff. You don't forget things. That makes you the dope.
I'll push back a little bit. There may be a couple of months there where Jake forgot a lot of things.
I lived it out.
Jake didn't lose things. Jake lost himself.
Right.
Yeah. Time.
Just a little bit.
Time, Todd.
Time.
Who are you to talk down to me?
A little bit.
Oh, man.
I went without, though. I learned the repercussions.
I just go without. I don't need it.
I just learned the repercussions.
Oh, Sam Mellinger is our guest. And we were just talking before. There's so much we can talk about, Sam. We didn't really get a chance to talk Chris Jones with you because it happened after you were on last week, right?
Yeah.
So,
that is accurate.
So, Chris Jones, he's talking to the media today, right?
Yeah. Hell of a thing, man. Like, we've talked about him before, obviously. And my thought was always that I think Chris wanted to stay here and the Chiefs wanted him here. But I just didn't know that they could find that middle ground. But hell if they did, man. I think that this deal, though, and I want to be clear when I start talking here, I'm not saying this is a bad contract, but I am saying that this is not a deal without risk. The Patrick Mahomes contract is a deal without risk, and that's not this one. This deal is going to take him up to his 30th birthday, and he is a 300-some-pound guy who relies largely, I mean, he's got great technique and all that, a sharp brain, but he relies largely on athleticism. He's had some injuries. You know, it's easy to forget the torn knee ligament that he had. Was that the Steelers game or the Titans game?
Titans game.
The playoff game. And he rehabbed it in the offseason and came back fine. But, you know, he's had some injuries. He's vulnerable against the run. You know, it is not a deal without risk. That being said, my goodness, I mean, it's a hell of a thing for the Chiefs right now. And it's one of those deals where if it works out, it's a deal that not just like solidifies. Let me put it this way. The Chiefs were going to be, they are, the Super Bowl favorite, the clear Super Bowl favorite this year anyway. And this deal, I think if you look at, you know, not just him and not just Patrick Mahomes being signed through 2031, but Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mitch Schwartz, all of their best players, Juan Thornhill, all of their best players are signed long term. The earliest that any of those contracts expire is 21. Traverius Ward, who might be next in line for a contract, he's a restricted free agent after this season. But this is a group that, you know, I want to be careful because sometimes it feels like people here, people like us, can start talking like this is just a foregone conclusion, this dynasty, and you forget. It's easy to forget how hard that is. And it's one thing to have it set up, but you still have to go do it, and that's a difficult thing. But it's hard to think of an NFL team, you know, in a league that's built so much for parity, how an NFL team could be better set up for an extended run than the Chiefs are right now.
Sam Mellinger is our guest here on the Border Patrol, and Sam, it's like there's a gravitational pull to Patrick Mahomes, kind of like just things people want to be around him. They want to be a part of the team that he's a part of, and I think they'll see that more and more. Now, it's not some way to build your team just to hope that people want to come play for less or something a couple years down the road, but I could see that happening. I mean, Sammy Watkins is playing for less, right? He could have gotten cut and gone out and done his deal, but he said, nah, I want to be a part of this. And Chris Jones certainly wanted to be a part of the Chiefs, and he's getting paid a lot of money. But I think the draw of being a part of what's happening in Kansas City was very strong for him because he helped build that, and things in a time where things seem to be going poorly in lots of ways around our country, involved in sports and whatever else, it just seems to be going really well for the Chiefs. And it's almost like a pinch yourself thing, as for all of us who grew up around this area, that this is not how it works in Kansas City, but it looks like right. It's how it's going to work in Kansas City. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's funny to me. You know, like our oldest son is six, and he's really into sports, especially football. And it's just funny to me that he's going to grow up and this is just his reality. You know what I mean? Like the Chiefs, like through his childhood, they're just eternally going to be like the 2010 Miami Heat or something, which is just such a different reality than any of us had. The thing about Mahomes, and I don't know, maybe Sammy Watkins could have gotten, you know, a multi-year deal that could have paid him more money, but I don't know that he took a lot less. And Chris, and he shouldn't have. I don't think he took less. But I think that with Mahomes, this term that I hear sometimes about him, and this comes from people inside the Chiefs as well, that he is a force multiplier. And I really love that term about him because it speaks to a lot. It speaks to he does make guys better. He just does. I mean, Tyreek Hill is a fantastic talent on his own. And if you just dropped him on any of the other 31 teams, he would be dangerous. But if he was on any of the other 31 teams, at some point, if you watched him enough, you'd be like, oh, my God, could you imagine if that guy was with Mahomes, you know, that speed with that arm and that creativity? He makes the offensive line better. He makes the defense better. There was a period, some of us call it 2018, where Patrick Mahomes was their best defensive player because, you know, he forced the other team into passing situations, and they could, you know, they led the league in sacks that year. He makes the coaches better. He makes the business department better. He makes marketing better. He makes, I mean, that's his gift. That's his gift, is that, you know, that can be kind of a trite, overdone term, and it's usually in basketball, right? Like, he makes his teammates better. But I don't know. I mean, we don't live, like, in and out of the Patriots the last 20 years, right? But I imagine that it's, like, how people there view Belichick and Brady, like, kind of as a combo. And I just, I think that he makes the talent pop a little bit more. But I also believe this. I also believe that teams that believe that they can win have, like, sort of a different effort or a different sort of motivation than teams that are just kind of treading water. And here, I think we all can lean on our experience of following the Chiefs for many years. You know, there were times when they were either bad or not bad, but not great, where, you know, guys kind of make business decisions, or guys, you know, when you get down by 10 points in the playoffs, or if you get down, you don't really give up, but you sort of think, you know what, let's just play this thing out. And I think that this freak show quarterback, like, changes all of that. You know, I think they've seen what's possible with this guy. And I believe that there's a higher purpose. You know, like, to your Sammy Watkins point, you know, maybe he does go test the market, and maybe he gets more money, maybe he doesn't. But maybe he's certainly not as motivated to stay if he's not having as much fun. And it's a hell of a lot easier for the coaches, for the rest of the roster, for the other 52. It's a hell of a lot easier for them to have fun when they've got this guy. And not just the talent, but the senior, I mean, just the way he is as a teammate. You know, he has this exceptional ability to be one of the guys and joke around and play video games or whatever. But then in those moments, he always rises. And that is a hell of a gift.
Okay, we then transition into, will we get to see an actual title defense from the Kansas City Chiefs this year? As rookies are scheduled to be hitting camp today in Kansas City, and there's ever breaking news on that. So I'd like to go ahead and take a break early so that we have enough time to really dive into all of, get everybody caught up on where we're at with the NFL, the NFLPA, the rookies, all that, with Sam Mellinger right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol. Hopefully you never left. On Sports Radio 810 WHB, Nate Bucati along with Todd Lebo, Jake Gutierrez, running the tight ship here as always.
Pounders.
He's Pounders in effect this morning.
Pounders here today. Pounding away.
Admonishing people in the hallways. Sam, I'm going to read to you from NFL.com. Chiefs Texans rookies reporting to team facilities Monday. Today is reporting day for rookies for the Houston Texans and Kansas City Chiefs. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported on Good Morning Football that players will be taking COVID-19 tests for the first 2 days. Every team has to submit a plan. I found out what the acronym is, Todd. Infectious Disease Emergency Response Plan, IDER, has to be approved, and the Chiefs has been approved. And so I guess rookies are showing up, but we also saw NFL players collectively going to Twitter yesterday to intimate that maybe they wouldn't be willing to go to camp if they don't get all of these questions answered. Sam, what do you think of where we're at with the NFL and the NFLPA right now?
If some of us, including me, spent the last, like, couple months just killing Major League Baseball for screwing up their return to play plan while assuming that the NFL was using the benefit of the calendar to their advantage, only to find out that the NFL was basically just doing nothing. That would be a hell of a plot twist. The one thing that this does not have, at least yet, that I've seen anyway, is sort of the petty leaks from ownership. Trying to make the players look bad. I haven't seen that. Maybe I'm missing it. You guys tell me if I'm missing it.
Stay but tuned. That would be my thing.
Yeah, I haven't. Todd was saying we haven't really heard anything from any owners yet, have we?
I haven't heard much. Or even mouthpiece type.
Not even the loudmouth owners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even like a NFL spokesman says. So I don't know if that means that. Do the owners just think they have a plan in place and it's good to go? If that's the case, that would sound a little bit like some arrogance. If they're not even, having a discussion, football has just some inherent difficulties in playing. It's part of why I think college football is just, we'll see you next fall. And hopefully at that point. But I think that the NFL has some resources and we're dealing with adults and there's more discipline. There's more, they can create a structure that simply can't exist at, any college football program below, Alabama. You know what I mean? They can do some things, but they need to do some things. And it sounds like the players don't believe that their concerns have been addressed, really. I guess that's what's baffling, is that it sounds like it's not that there's a disagreement and, they said A and we say B. It's like, it sounds like, we say A and they say nothing. And, they got to get that fixed, man. For as frustrating as it was to miss 102 games of the baseball season, and to watch that back and forth and, MLS has taken took like a 3-month break or whatever. The NBA, NHL, as frustrating as all that is, if there's a major disruption or even a cancellation in the NFL, the reaction, the impact is just going to be exponentially bigger.
Sam, do you think that during these negotiations, that sometimes they try to kind of open up something that doesn't have anything to do with this, right?
And oh, for sure.
Something,
yeah.
Things like that can end up being the snags. And since we don't know much about what's going on, it always seems like someone trying to slide a little pork into it, right? Like for the old...
Exactly.
Well, the cynic in me, I actually believe the players have legitimate health concerns. I want to put that out there. I do, especially because the guys that are in the closest proximity to one another breathe... I have this image in my head a lot. Everything about this is supposedly, droplet spread where, heavy breathing on another person is dangerous. That those images of those really cold December, January games when you see all the linemen and you see those huge plumes of steam coming out of their mouth because they look like stallions that are breathing so heavily. That's before the ball's even snapped. And we're talking about a disease that, according to a lot of the stuff you read, they believe that body mass can be a problem. Like if you're an overweight person, that can add complications to if you get this disease. Well, all those guys are intentionally overweight. Like they eat ridiculous amounts of food on a daily basis on purpose to be overweight because you have to be to play the position of offensive and defensive line. I do think there are legitimate healthcare concerns. So I want to put that out there first. But the cynic in me wonders how much of this is about them arguing over what they're going to do about the who's going to cover the lost revenue, how they're going to cover it, because that keeps coming up in the background a little bit, right? Like, are we going to take a hit now? Are we going to spread that hit out over the next few years to come? And are the players just, look, no one wants to hear that. The public doesn't want to hear them arguing about money. But the public might have an appetite to listen to them talk about the safety concerns. So the cynic in me says, are they just throwing the safety concerns out there like crazy to try to win the PR battle when what they're really fighting about is the money? And I hope that's not the case, but there's at least part of my brain that wonders if that is the case.
Well, I mean, that's part of the discussion, for sure. And, you know, I think for intelligent reasons, that's not part of J.J. Watt's tweet, right?
Right,
He's not talking about the salary cap, and he shouldn't. And, you know, that also, by the way, I mean, not to go on a little bit of a tangent here, but when we talk about, you know, any potential dynasty or any potential, like, extended run, you know, the Chiefs are a team that is close up against the cap, and that's assuming that the cap continues to grow, and the cap is not going to continue to grow. So those concerns with the cap are going to have particular interest here locally when we get down to the, you know, hammering that stuff out. Absolutely. But it's just, it may turn out that in 5 years, or when, you know, like whenever we get back to some form of normal and there's a vaccine and all that stuff, that we look back and think, how stupid were we for thinking that football could be played in the middle of this? Like, man, that was really stupid. That may be how this goes, that all those concerns, Nate, that you just laid out about, you know, droplets in the air. And I mean, just think about a huddle. You know, just that. And now we're not even talking about, you know, one guy tackling another, landing on top of him, breathing, maybe yelling, maybe taunting. I mean, these are all things that you can imagine the spread. And, you know, if there's one positive case and it happens to be a middle linebacker and that guy is involved in, you know, X number of plays, I mean, you can see pretty easily how that would spread.
Well, that's what the testing's supposed to be about, though, right? I mean, that's why they got to get and you know, if you're not in a bubble and you go out, you can do these things. If they test and test and test enough, then the thought would be the chances go down significantly that anything's going to spread throughout a team during play.
If you can catch it quickly enough,
that's the thing.
If you can do it, yeah.
If this was, if they can develop, and I'm not read up on this enough to know that if they're close or if this thing exists or whatever, but, you know, just, well, look at MLS and Major League Baseball. I mean, those tests are taken 24 hours, right? And that's too long to be sure. You know what I mean? Like, if it was an instant test, then I think you've got a real chance to keep it out. But that 24 hours, and there's, you know, we know that there's false negatives as well, right?
And so, false positives.
Well, that's the thing about all of this. I remember thinking about this. We're sitting down there at the Big 12 tournament the day they called this thing off. This thing, meaning sports and mostly parts of society. And we had just played Bob Bowlsby on the air doing it, and because we were literally like, Texas and Texas Tech were out there, you know, warming up, getting ready to play. And I remember we were playing Mayor Lucas's press conference on the air when they were talking about the state of emergency and all these things. And the first thing that popped into my mind was, this is going to come down to individual people doing the right things. And that's doubly the case for these football players, baseball players, whomever. If they want to play the sport, they're going to get more testing than anyone else gets at their regular job. They're just going to, because that's the way the world works, and this is part of the fact that money is behind the leagues and blah, 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 and all of those things. So they're going to get the testing. But when they leave the stadium, that's the most important part of their life, when they have to do the right thing there. Because if you get, you know, negative test after negative test after negative test, and you continue to do the right thing when you leave the stadium, you're probably, more than probably, you're going to continue to be negative. But if you get a negative test and then on Wednesday and they say, all right, your game is on Sunday, and then you do something you're not supposed to do and then perhaps lie about it on the app in the morning when they say, did you go somewhere? I mean, all of this is going to come down to the fact that they have to do the right thing, because even if you do the right thing, you can get a bad result. But the chances go down significantly. Are the people who play the games equipped to do the right thing? Because looking at general society, it looks like maybe people aren't equipped to do the right thing.
What are you basing that off of?
My eyes.
I'll go one step further, though, Todd. It's not just that. And I do think that, on average, you know, a Major League Baseball player, an NFL player, you know, I realize that these guys, like, their demographic generally, you know, young athletes in their 20s, you know, may feel invincible or whatever. But I think that the teams and the leagues have pounded this into their heads enough and that they know how much they have to lose. I think that most of those guys are going to act pretty responsibly, more responsibly than the general population. You can make a joke about a low standard there, and it'll probably be funny. But the other thing is, excuse me, it's not just who, like, pick a player, but it's not just that man acting responsibly, but that guy goes home. It's about if he lives with his wife, her acting, you know, it's about anybody she comes in contact with. It's about what if they live, you know, with their brother, with, you know, an old friend. It's about that circle as well, acting responsibly. It's about them, you know, wearing masks, staying out of crowds, you know, limiting your time to a grocery store, maybe just doing Instacart or whatever. It's not just, you know, Juan Thornhill, and I'm just picking him out of the air. It's not just Juan Thornhill, you know, who needs to act responsibly. It's like, who does Juan Thornhill live with? And I don't know, but if he's got a brother, Charvarius Ward, at least last year, lived with, you know, some family members.
He still does.
It's not just about Charvarius. It's about, his cousin that he lives with. It's about his brother. It's about, you know, those guys too. The bigger that circle gets, the more risk there is.
And I will underscore again that we also know that you can do everything right and still get it. As we talked about, none of this stuff is a black and white proposition. Every single thing you do is there is no such thing as a zero risk proposition in the world right now, aside from staying in your house. And that's not a realistic proposition. Everybody has to do something. I mean, everybody has to come in contact with someone, whether it's someone bringing you your food, someone bringing you your medical supplies, whether it's you going to the grocery store. There's going to be some level of risk. And
you certainly can't play football from inside your house.
Right. And so the thing is, you know, it's easy. We have seen cases of professional athletes who went out clubbing and then had an outbreak, like on their whole team. That's happened. That's caused teams to have to shut things down. But we've also seen cases of people that were like, yeah, we did all the contact tracing, and the only thing I've done is go to the grocery store, and I got it. So that is still a possibility. And this is the part I feel like not enough of us are embracing. The collective responsibility we have to this is, the more people around you that have it, the higher risk even mundane stuff is.
Right.
If a large percentage of the people that go to the same grocery store as you have it, the chances of you picking it up from just going to the grocery store goes up. And that's why the infectious disease people want you to be really careful if you might have been in contact with somebody. And that's why the infectious disease people are saying, if you are an asymptomatic Royals player and you tested positive, you got to stay away from everybody else, because it's the collective thing. And so, you know, yeah, that's going to be one of the main challenges. I all of a sudden have optimism that they're going to be able to finish this competition in Orlando for Major League Soccer, because the bubble, at least for now, I'm knocking on wood, seems to be working. That gives me optimism that they're going to be able to pull things off in the NBA bubble, because they're in a bubble. There is no bubble. Oh my gosh, it's storming outside right now. But there is no bubble for NFL and for Major League Baseball right now. And that just, yeah, they can reduce their risk greatly by being really responsible, but they can't eliminate the risk. That's just not possible in the current environment that we're living in the United States. I will say this on a positive side. One of the tweets that came out is that the Kansas City Chiefs are one of only three teams in the NFL who have had their IDER plan approved by the NFLPA. So the Players Association has approved the Chiefs' plan.
How does not every team have the exact same plan?
Tell me if
we're not, to each other.
Tell me we're not on a loop here. And I guess just Kansas City.
Well, you have to have different plans because you're in different states. I mean, that's. I mean, you just do. You can't have the same plan for everybody because of the government rules in each city.
Their facility, I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah, I mean, you would think your point is absolutely valid.
If their plan's been approved, send it to everybody.
Right, and then just tailor it to the structure.
Why
of the government.
Why does it seem like we keep talking about Kansas City teams actually doing the right thing? Like Sporting, first team to get out.
They were the best.
Seriously, we have three organizations that actually seem to be handling themselves in a positive. Is that just me being Kansas City colored glasses, or is that not the case, Sam Mellinger?
No, I think, Kurt Thomas, is that the guy's name, the Sporting's trainer? I'm blanking on his name right now, which sucks because I had a great conversation with him a couple weeks ago. But him, Nick Kenny, and Rick Burkholder are all relatively close, and they notably are all very respected in their professions. And you know, this is not, you know, like NFL coaches can be like cartoonish with their secrecy, right? Like everything's a war secret, everything's a competitive advantage, and. That is not the case, from what I can tell, in the athletic training community, and especially among guys that respect each other and like each other. And I think that those three guys have a heightened respect and admiration for each other, and they've been in contact all summer. And, which means that Nick Kenny's plan was probably going to be pretty decent anyway, but Nick Kenny's plan is better with the input from those other guys. Rick Burkholder was probably going to get, you know, a pretty decent plan anyway, but his plan is better with the input of those other guys. I think that has something to do with it. I really do. All three of those guys have really strong reputations. So it does seem like the teams here and they've had positive cases, right? Sporting had one. The Royals have had four, I believe.
Six now for the Royals.
Six, sorry. But the key is to keep six from not becoming 16 and to not have five at once. You know, that's the big thing. So you've had six over the course of, what are we going on, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
So that's okay. What's not okay is if six positives come back tomorrow.
Right.
That's when you got to talk about shutting stuff down. So, I mean, they're walking a tightrope on this, and if there's a safety net, it's probably got holes in it. You know what I mean? So everybody's got to be really careful. We were just talking about like things to lose, and how motivations are different and behavior is different when you're a championship club as opposed to a team that's coming off a 2-14. I trust the Kansas City Chiefs right now a hell of a lot more than I would have in 2012. You know what I mean? Like I think that that's human nature, that, you know, the Chiefs have a lot more to lose in this than, just pick your dog NFL team. And that's a problem as well. You know, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be pretty careful. You know what I mean? Like I think that, Tyrann Mathieu is going to be pretty damn careful. But what about the 53rd man for the Lions? Is he going to be the same? What about, maybe you can argue he needs to stay in the NFL. What about somebody that's on, you know, for the Panthers or for, you know, just a middle of the road team and he's got a 3-year contract and I know they're not guaranteed, but he's got some level of financial security. How careful is he going to be? Because, you know, that old cliche about you're only as strong as your weakest link, I don't know that that's ever been as true as it is in these contexts.
Kurt Andrews, is that who you're talking about from Sporting Kansas City?
Yes.
Director of Sports and Medicine?
Thomas, the old NBA player. Yeah, Kurt Andrews. All three of those guys, Kurt, Nick, and Rick, I mean, those guys are respected. They are organized. They're prepared. I think one of the things that I think it's true in these situations. It's true in a lot of situations, especially in sports, but you've got to make decisions before those decisions come. You've got to decide how you're going to handle something before that situation arises. And that was something when I talked to Nick and Kurt a couple weeks ago for a story for a column, that shined through. The one thing that they did not talk about, that they did not prepare for, and I thought they would have, is what's it take to shut it down? They neither one of them had an answer for that. And that seemed strange to me, just, you know, my stupid sports writer brain. But then when I talked to the epidemiologist, they said, no, that's the smart way to do it. Because you prepare as much as you can for, you know, doing the right thing and slowing the spread. But their point generally is that there's just way too many factors involved to predetermine that decision. And those factors include, Nate, what you've been talking about, of just sort of like, what's the environment around like? You know, the decision on when to shut down is different when there's record number of cases as opposed to, you know, when the cases are slower. The decision involves like, how rapid are these positives? The decision involves how close in contact were the positives. I mean, there's just a million different factors. So even in that, the part where I was like, oh, here's something, here's a hole in their game. Nope, turns out that was the right decision as well.
Well, these are complicated things, and they are different for each and every sport. And, you know, it stands to reason. This stuff has changed as we've gone along. You know, last week Mike Matheny was talking about he freaks out every time his phone bings because he thinks it could be some bad news, right? And everyone's kind of, you know, a little trigger happy on a lot of these things, but it's kind of the way they have to do it. And we're going through this as it's happening. We're not looking back at, you know, exactly how these things should have worked. We haven't had a pandemic that's similar to this since whatever 1918, right? And there was no such thing as the NFL. I mean, think about that. It didn't exist, right? The baseball was happening, and there were some college sports and things like that, but it certainly wasn't what, you know, it has become now. And honestly, back then, we didn't know as much as we know now about how to treat things. And honestly, probably didn't care as much. And people didn't care as much about whether you're going to get sick or what it's, I mean, you know, it's just different. The times are different now. So we have to kind of live through it and go through it in real time. But to your point earlier about the NFL, I mean, I know these things have changed, but it seems like they really should have been better prepared for this exact moment when they were getting back here. And that is disappointing that they should have had the money side of it worked out, I guess. And it's
for
just,
sure.
It's, you know, what all we do is get disappointed sometimes by negotiations with sports. It's to be understood, I guess.
Yeah. One other point, too. And look, like, I want everybody to be careful. I want everybody to wear a mask whenever they, you know, all that stuff. But I think sometimes, and this is true basically in everything in life in America right now, but it seems like a ton of you're either on one extreme where, you know, you're wearing a mask inside your house and you never answer your door, or you're on the other and you think it's, you know, all fake and whatever. I think that the middle ground could use some more people here. And I think that there needs to be an acceptance, and maybe this is ugly. Maybe it is, but I think it's reality. There needs to be an acceptance that people are going to get sick. There needs to be an acceptance, like, if we're going to play NFL football, if that's going to happen, if Major League Baseball, and like all these sports are going to happen, that's going to create some positives. Like, there's no perfect system. And I think that the people who are on or near one end of the extreme need to be prepared for that, and need to be prepared for, you know, yeah, Saturday, maybe the starting right tackle, maybe the starting middle linebacker, maybe the starting quarterback test positive. That doesn't mean that you have to shut the whole thing down. You know, it's about mitigating risk, and it's also about trying to make sure that the environment that you create for these sports to happen does not create more positive tests than would exist if those guys were just living their lives out in the community. And that's a high standard, but that standard is not perfection. And I think we need to keep that in mind as well. There are going to be mistakes. There are going to be some positive tests. It's just about trying to limit them as much as possible.
All right, Sam, before we let you go, we are hoping the Royals are going to play an exhibition game of baseball today. But last check, Brian McTaggart, who covers the Astros, tweeted last night that Dusty Baker said the team will decide this morning if they're going to come to Kansas City. If the weather's bad, they might just stay home and work in Houston. It's pouring down rain right now, but the game's not supposed to be till tonight. Are you, how excited are you about the idea of having these exhibition games? We're talking about whether or not they should even play any exhibition games in the NFL. Is it important to you, or let's just get to Friday and try to see if they can actually play some real baseball?
I mean, it's hard to say that, like, an exhibition is important to me, you know, but I'm excited for it. I had planned, Mondays are always kind of weird for me, but I had planned to go out there tomorrow. There's going to be an afternoon game. I hope they still play. You know, I love sports. Like, I want it back, you know, like obviously professionally, right? Like that's, you know, we'd be idiots if we didn't at least recognize that there's a professional bias that we all have. But I, just personally too, like, you know, I don't think any of us would have these jobs if we didn't love sports, on a base level. And, it sounds corny sometimes, like sports are important. And I always think like they're the least important thing in the world until the moment where they're the most important. And I think that this is a moment where they can actually be important. And I'm thrilled to be able, you know, just the thought of having these games back. I've been enjoying watching MLS. I've been enjoying watching the Premier League coming back. And I love Major League Baseball and the NFL a hell of a lot more. You know what I mean? It's just a longer mm-hmm. relationship with those sports. So I'm thrilled. I hope that that's not reckless. I hope that I'm not letting that professional and personal bias, you know, sort of cloud, like I said earlier. I mean, there's a possibility that years from now, like people like me that are, you know, wanting these games back are going to look like fools. That's a possibility. Wouldn't be the first time I look like a fool, right? But I'm glad that we're doing it. People are getting back to work in a lot of professions. I'm glad that we're at least giving it a try. And if it doesn't work out, we can shut it down and, you know, try to come up with a better plan.
Well, the latest from the Houston Astros is their team store is reopening today. So they just tweeted
that
out within a half an hour. So there you go. Don't know if they're coming up to Kansas City, but the damn team store is open.
Get your merch.
Merch yeah. up.
Get your merch.
Get your Astros branded trash cans. That was too
That's
easy.
That's right.
Sorry.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That was just.
Remember when that was the biggest thing in the world back in. You know, it's great.
Yeah. That was great.
Simpler times.
I just,
Simpler
yeah. times. Hey, look, I hope the Royals plunk a few of them tonight. You know, that's what I'm watching for.
How about a benches clearing brawl with social distancing?
Put your mask on before you start throwing hands.
Everyone
you know?
Just goes out there and screams at each other from 6 feet away.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the Indians the other night? Like the post-game handshake was like a post-game, like, I don't even know how to describe it, like high foot. Like they were just like the, banging cleats against
the
each
kid,
other.
The kid and play kick. Hands. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The youth baseball around here, they just come out and they tip the cap to the other team nowadays is what's happening
tip
there.
Tip of the cap.
So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I did
yeah.
see Francisco Lindor do a somersault over home plate.
There you go.
After a home run trot.
Do it.
Bring
it.
Crushed one. He,
here
he
we
did,
go.
He did it.
Oh, boy.
Let's spice it up.
Over home plate.
I'm all for it.
I'm for that.
It's great.
I'm 100% in favor of that.
He crushed this ball.
Yeah.
And the pitcher, you know, they're the same team, so... If it's cool to do it to your own team, I mean...
Hey, you score a touchdown in the NFL, you're allowed to do a somersault, right?
That's right.
I mean, what's the deal?
Stop my
Let's
job
go.
To stop me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody can stop you, Sam Mellinger. Thanks, buddy.
All right, I enjoyed it, guys. Thanks.
All right, that's Sam Mellinger. We'll talk more NFL with the one and only Adam Teicher coming up in the next hour.